people are like, oh, we're not symphony people. I always get that question. And I was like, what do you mean? Don't you love Led Zeppelin? They have some of the greatest symphony orchestras behind them. Don't you love Star Wars? Don't you love Aerosmith? Any of those 80s love ballads. You just don't realize they're absolute rock stars.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
Episode 45 of the show, Beth Doughty of the Lake Charles Symphony Orchestra. So good of her to join us here on the show to talk some music and where you may fit into orchestra music and may not even know it. A lot of great points from her talking about all of that.
But you may think orchestra's not for you. She's going to prove you wrong.
I like that. But before we get to there and on V Eats, I wanted to shout out a couple of comments we've been getting on our show. Spotify has a great little post-game recap when you're done listening that you can kind of do comments. If you want to do so on Apple, I would suggest leave us a rating and then kind of in the review, maybe say if you wanted to do a shout out. But on Spotify, we've gotten a few. Patricia said, great episode. What good feedback there, huh?
That was our episode with the Arts Council. We talked about all things that they've got going on here in Southwest Louisiana. And, you know, Patricia, I agree with you. That was a great episode, wasn't it? But here's my favorite comment. This is from Caleb. He says, minivans rock. I must have been talking about my minivan.
5 exclamation points.
Because I'm a minivan mama now. And thanks, Caleb, for also agreeing that minivans rock. He said, check out his Facebook page to see a super cool van. And guess what I did? I checked out his Facebook page and I found a super cool van. Look, it's not the Honda Odyssey. It is a Toyota Sienna. It's also silvery blue in these pictures. Anyways, he's like outfitted it and he apparently goes camping a lot is what it looks like. So that's awesome. And I'm a little jealous. I haven't used mine in that way yet, but I can't wait to.
Well, I do need to finish outfitting the Addict with some foam board, and it was too big for my Jeep, so we'll need to use your van to bring it home.
See, so the minivan wins again.
Another great comment from Lorenzo. I met him the other day. We had some great conversations and said, hey, I'm going to dive right into the podcast. And not only did he dive right into the podcast, he left us a cool comment telling us great show and that we made him hungry. It happens to me every time that I sit in the edit booth and I have to re-listen to everything that we talked about. So Lorenzo, I feel you on that. He said he's looking forward to Gumbo Gators baseball, finally back home.
That's right.
And we're going to get to see him at home. So very, very fun. Very exciting as well. Gumbo Gators off to a nice start to the season. But speaking of food and getting hungry, let's do the thing.
We're going to make you hungry again, Lorenzo, because this week we're talking about Tony's Pizza.
Jill kind of coming out of the gate a little bit before the jingle, letting you know where we're going. Tony's Pizza is exactly where we are. Opened in 1968, so they're approaching 60 years of service here in Lake Charles. They're one of the oldest restaurants here in the city, and they have such a cool, laid-back atmosphere and decor. It's a big thing I know you like, that there's ivies kind of everywhere.
Oh my gosh, yes. If you go to Tony's Pizza, just don't forget to look at the ivies that they have growing. These are actual real plants. These are not plastic people. And they are...
They're not plastic people?
They're not plastic, comma, people.
Oh, okay.
And they're amazing. They're real... Like, every time I go there, I'm really jealous because I can barely keep an ivy alive.
It's honestly kind of like stepping into a time machine. And I mean that by, you know, those classic pizzeria feels, the checkered tablecloth type feel, everything kind of being red. Like, this is what you think about when you think about classic pizzeria. You're going to walk in and say like, oh my gosh, this is like a nostalgia slap in the face.
It is. Yeah. All the decor, it's, you know, got that vintage feel about it. Like I said, the ivy's growing everywhere. It was amazing. There's some really cool like architectural pieces. Even the way that the booths are built in are really neat. A lot of woodwork going on. And we can't not talk about the kind of Tiffany style glass light fixtures. They're
stained
beautiful.
Glass.
Yeah, so it's that Tiffany glass, you know, it's got the grapes going on. It's a classic Italian pizzeria feel to this place. And also, you know, you step right in, you order at the front, then you go have a seat and they bring your order out to you. You get a number. There's just something to that that feels so, Okay, this is going to sound lame, but that Cheers, everyone knows your name style place. You know what I mean? This is it. Like, you feel, you walk in and they're like, hey, Jill, like, you know, you just feel like you know people there.
Chicken parm again, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but this time I did get something different. I branched out.
Well, they're known for things like their homemade meatballs and homemade sauces, pizzas and po' boys. They've got salads and pastas, a really complete menu all the way around. A little bit of blending of Southwest Louisiana culture within a classic Italian restaurant pizzeria style menu. Something that they call their secret, they do have imported things like Greek olives, and they import their cheeses as well, which really help make a lot of their menu items
stand out. Authentic, yeah. So when it came down to ordering, I got the ravioli and spaghetti. It's like a dual plate, if you will. It's got ravioli, but also spaghetti with meat sauce. So you're getting the best of both worlds. The spaghetti was really flavorful. Their marinara is really unique. It's like a signature marinara sauce that goes on all their dishes. It's got this sweetness to it that's really good. And I haven't found that it tastes like anywhere else. To me, it's very unique and I love it. So it's got that on it, the meat sauce, the ravioli was really good. It's cheese ravioli. And they also top it with a sliced ham. They do their Parmesan across the top and mozzarella. It's really good.
It's a pretty big plate for you as well.
Oh, yeah. I ate on it for 3 days.
With a big piece of garlic bread too, right?
Mm-hmm. Big piece of garlic bread, which is perfectly toasted. Exactly. It's just, again, like you said, that warm family, like a big hug of food kind of thing. It's really good. It also came with like a side salad, which I know a lot of places, like, that's just like, you may not talk about it, but it was really good. They've got their ranch on it. It's good. I'm a ranchaholic, so y'all know me. Or maybe you don't.
So wait, being a ranchaholic means that there's a such thing as ranchahol?
Just don't question it.
All right, because we went to a pizzeria, I got the pizza, and I love their crust. They've got that real soft, doughy crust. I much prefer that versus a hard crust, a crunchy crust.
Like a thin crust, yeah.
Yeah, I love a good soft, doughy crust, and theirs is perfect for that. Cheesy, and it's saucy as well, so a nice combo of both of those. I get the chopped jalapenos across, the pepperoni pizza. They've got good, thick-cut pepperoni. As you mentioned, that sauce, even on the pizza as well, you can tell it's got a little sweetness to it, just a little bit, part of their signature dish there. And they're also known, believe it or not, for what they call their Tony's sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sweet barbecue. It's very tangy, but at the same time, it works on their pizza.
It works on everything.
You know, and they obviously have like chicken wings and stuff too. It works on their chicken wings, but it works on their pizza.
It works drizzled on chicken parm.
Yeah,
I've done it before.
But when you say barbecue sauce on a pepperoni pizza, you don't necessarily, but it works. It's different. The sweetness complements with the sweetness of the sauce, and so it all works really well together. So I would say get it and see if it works for you as well. But it definitely is a signature sauce of theirs that they use for their pizza and other items.
And it certainly worked for yours because you had so many chopped jalapenos on it. Fun fact. So Brady brings home the leftover pizza, right? Because he couldn't finish the whole thing by himself. And my mom, who watches our kids every day, my mom is there and she's like, oh, I'll just eat some of this pizza one day. And as she put it when I came home that day, well, Brady tried to kill me today. Because it was covered in jalapenos and red pepper flakes, and she was not prepared for that at all. She thought she was getting some tame pepperoni pizza.
That's like a 2 scale on the hotness scale.
Not for us. We're built different.
Not for you normies.
you're built different. You're built strange.
That's right. That's right. I'm built diff.
I'm built different. So Tony's Pizza, a really fun place to visit. Full of locals usually, but they're welcoming in the crowd. If you're coming into town, taking a visit, like, this is the place to stop by, grab a slice of pizza. Really, really yummy and in a great spot. So it's right on, Prion Lake Road, which is just off Interstate 210. It's the perfect place to be to stop in and get some pizza.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Beth Doughty, the executive director of the Lake Charles Symphony. Before taking on that role, she spent nearly three decades as a wedding and events coordinator and manager in her family business. In addition, she's been a member of the Live Well Group, the Women's Commission, and the Lake Charles Rotary Club. In one way or another, she's really been involved with countless major events across Southwest Louisiana. And now for the cherry on top, an appearance on the Louisiana's Playground podcast. Of course, I'm joking. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know this as well as anyone, that Southwest Louisiana is known for big city amenities and small town charm. It makes for a variety of experiences that someone can add to their itinerary when visiting Lake Charles, from the types of food, outdoor adventures, national regional entertainment, everything that the lake area draws in. So before we get started today, talking about our main topic, which is the symphony, we're going to ask you some rapid fire questions so that people can see how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
Okay, I am ready.
Okay, number one, crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Oh, good choice.
Why is that?
Because I'm allergic now to crawfish.
Oh.
Sadly. Oh, very sadly. No. Yes.
First allergy on the podcast.
Yes, I think that might be the first one. Okay, have developed an allergy. Didn't used to be.
No.
Okay.
No, and crawfish are hard for me. But I will tell you this. I will take a Benadryl for crabs. For our Louisiana blue crabs every time.
You'll risk it. Okay.
Risk it every day.
The EpiPen on deck.
Yes. Oh, but I do love gumbo, and I love the way people treat their gumbo. Like, everybody makes it different. And I love to have that conversation with people about, hey, how'd you make your gumbo? Or what do you put in your gumbo? And they love to tell you exactly.
Everybody loves to share that.
Love that. And it's such a great conversation starter.
Okay. Our next question, poolside or beachside?
Poolside.
Pool. That was a quick answer.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I'm a redhead and I don't like the sun, so I like a big umbrella. But I love the pool. I love the water.
Yeah.
And I do love Louisiana beaches. I grew up with a camp on Johnson's Bayou, mm-hmm. and everything. So I have great memories of Holly Beach,
sure.
Johnson's Bayou,
yeah.
getting out in the waves. Picking shells off the beach. Sure. So I do love a good beach, but as a redhead,
can control your environment a bit better at the pool.
Exactly.
Understood. Okay. Concert or comedy show? I think I know the answer.
It's going to be a concert every day.
So what are you listening to?
There's a band called Lake Street Dive that I really like. Mm-hmm. At work, I listen to a lot of Bridgerton. I don't know how different people say it different ways, but the Bridgerton music,
sure.
which is the orchestrated versions sure. of wildly popular songs.
Yeah, kind of like that vibe, Vitamin String Quartet
yes,
vibe,
yes.
like mm-hmm. current yes. songs, but with an orchestra yes. playing it.
And then I'm an 80s girl,
mm-hmm.
so on the radio, there's in the car, it's always 80s to drive to.
Okay.
But if I'm looking for something different, I would check out that band. They're really, really good. In fact, they're playing with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra at the Red Rocks in July, right after our summer pops. So I might be taking off to go see them play with them.
Okay. Fantastic.
On a cool band.
Very cool.
Well, I'll say this as we start our conversation. We had a podcast a few weeks ago where we talked sports, and Jill gave the disclaimer right at the top saying that this is not in my wheelhouse. And I think orchestra is kind of the same for me. There are definitely some times that I do enjoy it. Star Wars music, for example. John Williams. I listen
to that. It's a great starter.
That is my that's my thinking music, right? Yeah. I'm working on something. I have it looped. I have mm-hmm. the piano mm-hmm. Looped there. But for me, it's kind of
it's a bit foreign,
unfamiliar
for you.
Territory, right? Yeah.
Correct.
How do you help bridge that gap for people?
Well, I love this question because it's my favorite question out there, because let's just face it. You go out there to any music event and people are like, oh, we're not symphony people. I always get that question. And I was like, what do you mean? Don't you love Led Zeppelin? They have some of the greatest symphony orchestras behind them. Don't you love Star Wars? Don't you love, Aerosmith? Any of those 80s love ballads mm-hmm. definitely had an orchestra behind them. And my personal favorite, Beth by Kiss, has a big, huge orchestra behind it. So you just don't realize that orchestra players and musicians of that caliber that we present to Southwest Louisiana are rock stars. They're absolute rock stars. And Summer Pops last year was a huge example of that. Sean Ardwan played, and we orchestrated all of his music and brought in all of our players, and they felt like rock stars. They had the best time. If you missed that show, you missed probably one of the best performances of in the last several years since the pandemic, because Sean brought it, our orchestra brought it, and where can you get 50 performers on stage?
Yeah,
with you know, all jamming out to the same song. I mean, it's electric. It truly is.
So it's not so much people don't like it. It's more of a lack of understanding or knowledge about it.
Yes, yes. And I came to this position as a non-musician. Mm-hmm. I'm a concert goer, and I have been to probably over 500 concerts in my life. So I mean, when you ask that question, I truly do love concerts, and I love all kinds of music and all different varieties of music and all of that. So I'm the same person that is out there. I didn't just change my likes. I just always appreciated great musicians, great music, all different genres, all different vocals. And I like country. I like rock. I love the 80s, as I well said earlier. But I think it's just, you have to be open-minded, and you have to say, you know what, I'm going to try this. And then once we get you on one of our Pops concerts, then you need to come see one of our classical concerts, because they're amazing. They truly are.
It just opens the door for you for a whole new experience.
It truly does. And you want your kids to perform well in sciences, maths, any of your STEM projects, put them in a music class. Teach them piano. Teach them the violin, the cello, the oboe, the saxophone, whatever it is that you want them to learn, because that is dire to the performance in the schools right now. And that's what's severely lacking, especially our strings programs in our schools. So shout out to Chris Gunter over at Barb High School, who has a great orchestra. If you haven't seen them, they perform all over town. We're so excited about being able to get those students developed and bring them into our orchestra one day. So, you know, you want your children to perform, get them involved, teach them music.
Let's rewind just a little bit.
Sure. And
go back to the history of the Lake Charles Symphony. We're talking 1958.
Yes. Okay, so 1958 is when, okay, so there were four professors at McNeese, music professors at McNeese, that decided to put an orchestra together, and they grew in popularity. Now, Adley Cormier will tell you, before then, Rosa Hart commissioned those same four professors, and they used to play for the Little Theater, and that's how it initially started. I'm having Adley research it completely for me.
But if you're not familiar with Adley Cormier, he is the historian for Southwest Louisiana.
And was on a former episode of the podcast, yeah. So make sure to kind of check that out, as he went in depth about Lake Charles history. So.
He's super fun. He's super interesting to talk to, mm-hmm. too. So if you ever get a chance to, you know, listen to what he has to say, if he corners you in a room to tell you about something, listen, because it's going to be mm-hmm. spot on. But anyway, back to our history. So in 1958, the Junior League of Lake Charles, we're a legacy project of them. And so they helped us get our nonprofit status and become the Lake Charles Symphony nonprofit LLC 501. And so that's how we began as a nonprofit. And we were a leader in the arts. We were one of the first arts programs in Southwest Louisiana. So once you have the arts and once you have the symphony, you can really build a community off of that. So we're very proud of our history and our deep history and the fact that we've had such amazing conductors like Dr. Kushner, which everybody knows about, Chelsea Tipton, he's world class, and Bill Rose, who is our, you know, homegrown right here, not homegrown, but he's been part of McNeese for many, many mm-hmm. years, who's amazing. So we have some great conductors in our wheelhouse, and we have some great conductors coming in. So
let's talk about the kind of performances that the orchestra is doing throughout the year.
You can only perform so many large scale mm-hmm. orchestras, because you have, like I said, 50 orchestra members, and these are paid professional orchestra members and musicians. So you have to be able to afford that. And so you can only do so many of those. In the meantime, we're trying to stay current with the candle concerts that are across America. And that what that is a pairing of classical music and contemporary music. So recently we just did Bach and Beatles, which sold out. I should have done two shows on it.
Oh, wow.
And stay tuned. We might come back and do another show on it, because it was incredible. And it was done at Central School, so we were able to bring in the history of Central School. We like to find unusual places in mm-hmm. Lake Charles to be able to pull those the history mm-hmm. of our city.
Sure.
And we want to go to West Cal too. There's some event centers and everything over there that we want to work with. And I'm a Sulphur girl. Originally, I'm a tour, so I definitely want to be able to go into West Cal and Sulphur, and of course Westlake, and do some things over on that side, because we are the Lake Charles Symphony of Southwest Louisiana. We're not just in Lake Charles base. So, but that's one thing we're doing. Another thing we're doing is we have some educational initiatives. So we're trying to get in the schools. We're trying to educate the kids about the symphony orchestra. We paired with some Louisiana artists, which were one being Sean that I just talked about, but Amanda Shaw came and played for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
And she played her fiddle with all of her long hairs and everything with our orchestra, and she was incredible. She actually has a STEM project right now that we're trying to get her back into the schools with. And then, sadly, I had been talking to Joel, because he was going to be our next Louisiana performer. So we're going to try to, every couple of years, pull in some sort of Louisiana performance with our orchestra, as we can do. And I think that's very important for our culture and our area.
I think so. Keep it alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You'd mentioned Summer Pops a couple of times. Can you dive into that? Because I know this year's it's going to be 80. So it's at this point, it seems like a little bit of a pet project, more so than normal for you.
Well, you know, it was something I wanted to do since I got here. I've only been part of the symphony as the director for the past almost 2 years now. It'll be mm-hmm. July 1st. So I walked into Summer Pops was my first thing I did, which was The Magician a couple of years ago, Michael Grandinetti, and he was fantastic. And it was all John Williams music. So you missed the Star Wars and the E.T. and the Raiders and all that. But we'll have to do it sometime for it, just for you. And then, of course, I talked about Sean. And then, so coming up this year, we're bringing in some performers that are a wide range of vocalists and musicians that will play along with the orchestra. And it'll be 80s music. I mean, you know, it'll be Prince and Cyndi Lauper and Tears for Fears and all of the good stuff. But who doesn't love 80s music? And it's a multi-generational show. So, you know, your grandparents, parents, and grandkids can all come to the show and enjoy the music, and it's familiar to everybody. So this is probably going to be one of the most familiar musical performances that we're going to do. But I thought it would be a lot of fun to really bring the community together. It usually is about 1,500 people once you put the people in the stadium seats and the tables on the floor. Mm-hmm. So it's a big community project, and we couldn't do it without our corporate sponsors and our grants and everything else. I mean, this is a labor of love.
Sure.
But Summer Pops is meant to be fun and exciting. Mr. Gaddy's provides pizzas. All of the pizza profit comes back to us. They just donated. It's 100% profit back to us. So it's a big donation. And they've been with us since the 80s. So we want to give them a big shout out. It's a blast. It's an absolute blast.
And it sounds like this is the perfect jumping off point for a person who might be unfamiliar with a symphony, maybe it's never seen an orchestra before, been a part of that kind of performance. This is your time to jump into it and dive in.
Exactly. And bring your family. And we have great family packs, and we have 2-4 packs for the stadium seating and so on. And so it's a blast, and it is. It it is just a lot of fun. And if you think, oh, I might want to enjoy that, or I might want to get my kids involved with a musical instrument, this is the perfect time to show them what they could do with it and how much fun it actually could be.
And that's July 13th?
July 13th at the Lake Charles Event Center.
Okay, very
cool. And doors open at 6. It starts at 7. I always like to say, grab some dinner early at one of your downtown restaurants, your local restaurants, and then come and see us. And then grab some pizza as you leave to enjoy for the rest of the night. So, but I always like to promote the downtown restaurants since we're right here on the lakefront and performing here.
And let's talk a little bit about that kind of symbiotic relationship that the symphony has with businesses in Lake Charles and how it benefits the city as a whole.
Well, the economic impact of the arts, but let's talk specifically orchestra. It fuels local economies and attracts new businesses. It's great if, for example, I just talked to a bunch of the people with the LNG group that are building here, and I wrote up some information for them to present to the group that was meeting to decide whether or not to have it here in Lake Charles or go on to Baton Rouge. And so I was able, and I'm not saying they came because there's a symphony, but it was one added plus that we were able to provide to say, hey, Lake Charles has a symphony and it's been around since 1958. We have a great history of music, whether it's orchestrated music, because a lot of these musicians play in jazz bands and in rock bands, and then they come in and play for us on different performances. So don't think that they're just, rockers out there playing. They know music and they know their stuff. But I even talked to one of my orchestra members, and I didn't think about this. She said, when my husband, who's an engineer, decided to go here, to come to Lake Charles or here, I said, no, Lake Charles has an orchestra, and she's a violin she's a violinist in our orchestra. She's a teacher here in town. So there's a lot of benefits when it comes to looking at what is the rest of the story about Lake Charles. What is the rest of what we want to present out there to Louisiana? And that is the arts. And we are all working as to collaborate between the Children's Museum, Imperial Calcasieu, the Arts and Humanities Council. I mean, we all collaborate together because we're all like, if we all come up together and we all build the arts up together in our community, think about what the next 5 to 10 years is going to be like for us. And if we get more and more of our community involved, what legacy are we going to be able to leave for the next generation, and look at and see what happens to Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana and see how it grows.
It's about a complete experience.
It truly is. That's why I left a big job to do something in the nonprofit world. I wanted something that was still part of the community. It wasn't that I could have gone and done lots of different things, but I wanted to help be part of this community and bring something back to this community. And that was very important to me.
I love that you talk about full picture, because I think a lot of people might get the idea of what Southwest Louisiana is. And while we do love our country artists and our swamp pop, these amazing Creole artists that we have that in Southwest Louisiana, that's not our only identity.
No.
We don't ever want to box ourselves into this very specific niche type of thing. And I think being able to present a symphony to the world just explains that we are so much more than what you might think we are.
Right. It's one of many arts groups out there that are working hard to secure funding, secure sponsorship. Let's just face it. A lot of people want to do STEM and not STEAM. I'm here to say you can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. Your test scores will show that. My dad was a principal, so I know what they look for, and I know what he has preached throughout our lives. And my brother is a musician. I'm going to just use him as an example. He's going to hate me for this, but he has had ADD.
Mm-hmm.
you know, not, you know, back in the day you didn't really diagnose all that.
Sure.
But music and guitar and everything that he took on helped him focus, helped him with that. And I'm going to use him as an example just because I can, mm-hmm. but there's a million other stories out there like it. And so that was really, really, it's something for us to really consider when we think about music. And I'm over at Central Arts. You should see the kids in and out with violins, cellos, going up to their music teachers at different times, piano, guitar. And there's just kids with big, huge smiles on their faces and parents patiently waiting for them in the parking lot while mm-hmm. they go do that. There's a dance studio up there. So there are so many different forms of art that we have such a rich heritage in that we just need to evolve and see what the next chapter brings for us.
Speaking of that, how do you innovate and really attract new people to classical music, whether it be the children or late adopters?
So I think like you said earlier, which was if you're not familiar with it, a Pops concert is the way to dive in. But I think it's about bringing in artists. And I love our idea of bringing in the Louisiana artist. And it's been very, very popular to do. And Sean had never done an orchestrated performance before mm-hmm. until that night. Amanda had never done an orchestrated performance of her music that night. And so we orchestrated both of those. No other orchestras in our area or out there has worked with either one of those artists. And that's why, again, I was so excited about Joel. But I will say I saved his voicemails that Aww. He had left me. So, because they were so, I don't know if y'all ever talked to him or not, but mm-hmm. he was a sweetheart. He was really, I'm very blessed that I got to meet him.
For those not familiar, this is Joel Sonnier that we're talking mm-hmm. about and who just passed away this year.
Correct.
And, you know, maybe there's still an opportunity to celebrate his music
possibly,
in the future.
Possibly. And we'll have to see. I know he had a unique vision.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see what comes up.
Yeah.
And but I think those are great. I think those candle concerts are a great way to collab between classical and contemporary music. I saw more men in that audience than I saw at any of our big symphony classical performances. So I think there's a way to kind of merge that interest and get them involved. Because, you know, the women will grab other women and they'll come to the big
sure.
concerts and get all dolled up and everything. Speaking of which, you don't have to be all dolled up. You know, a lot of people think you have to get all dressed up.
Sure.
And, you know, no, it's Sunday clothes if that. And, you know, just to have the experience. We don't mm-hmm. we want you to come and have the experience.
Yeah.
We don't want you to have to feel like you're less than or anything like
not
that.
Not out you of just, place.
Yeah,
you're,
exactly.
You're welcome.
I mean, I did weddings for 27 years. Girl,
sure.
you should see what I saw in the dresses. I pinned a boutonniere on a father of the groom who had Dickies on. And
you know,
yep.
can't go wrong with a pair of Dickies work pants.
Yep. He was all, no, full on
the
suit.
The crowd always chants, Dickies work pants.
No, it was the full suit,
the full,
zip up and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The full Dickies
okay.
onesie.
I will never
onesie.
Forget that as long
yeah.
as I live.
The male
the
romper.
Suit.
Yes.
Yeah, the male romper.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, and I'm not dogging that out or anything.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
All are welcome.
Be comfortable.
Exactly.
Yes. Be comfortable and all are welcome. Because I will be in a dress, but I guarantee you at some point my tennis shoes go on after I start running around. So anyway.
So that's wonderful. So how, outside of tickets for specific shows and events that are coming up, what options are there for memberships? There's a Symphony Society, right?
Okay. Yeah. So that's the big one. Right now, I'm really focusing on building memberships mm-hmm. because there's so many benefits to that.
Okay.
We're adding concerts to next season. They're not the big concerts, but we're adding performances to next season. We're going to have two additional candle concerts. We're having an additional Christmas performance, which we're really excited about, a Christmas performance coming up. We're adding choirs from our local choirs. And so we're super We want to be able to bring in other groups and highlight the area. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. As far as the Symphony Society and the Symphony Society really helps us with our endowment and helps us grow those big orchestras. So if there's anybody listening out there that wants to talk more of that, please, please contact us, because those are your big donations that we really need to continue forward and bring the live symphony full orchestras out together and bring in the really good conductors and so on and so forth. So
2 years experience already under your belt there, or nearing that, and from the countless people that you've already talked to, what has maybe been your favorite or most memorable performance or moment, or even maybe you've secondhand performance or moment that you've really got from that you were like, man, I wish I could have been there, or that you've seen with your own eyes?
Okay, so my favorite with my own eyes was actually watching that entire crowd last year at Summer Pops with Sean just bringing the crowd together and everybody standing up. And then, and because I'm outside of the box, you know, a lot of times, so I don't get to see it. But to stand back and to see, oh my gosh, we did this. We look at our orchestra buying into all of this orchestrated music and Sean up there with an accordion playing with, you know, these, you know, 16 string violins and then the cellos and then the horns and then the percussion and everything else in the woods and everything else that that went to. And then everybody in the audience on their feet having a blast. And, you know, it doesn't get better than that.
That moment where you just like it clicked and it's, you said this worked.
Right. It did. Our big experiment worked and we did it and no one else did.
I love that.
Not one other orchestra in the entire world did what we did last summer.
Love it.
And then
that's fantastic.
And then, you know, Amanda was, she was so cute and so amazing. And we had a lot of kids that really loved watching her play her fiddle. The one I missed, that this was before. Well, first of all, when I was very young, I got to see Dr. Kushner perform. But I wish I could have seen more of him.
Sure.
Just because of the sheer excitement of it all and the memories of it all and he and the history of it all. And I'm very blessed because I have in the wedding business, I have gotten to play with, you know, Barbara Ballou, who is the quintessential harp player, or, you know, there's just so many other people out there that I did get to be around, Dr. Buckles and all the smaller groups because of the being in the wedding business and having to book a lot of that. But the one I missed and I want to at some point bring back is Evangeline. I've heard a million times about that performance, and I think it would be great to pull back into our Louisiana group and maybe do an encore, maybe a 10-year anniversary of it or something along those lines, because I think a lot of people missed it, and I think it would be something that shouldn't – I think it's something that shouldn't be missed, and I kick myself about it. So –
well, that's good that you've got plans, you've got dreams, and good things are brewing for you guys.
I am. And this season's going to be a lot of choirs, fire and light. That's our theme. 2025, 26, we're going to take you to church. And so we're going to tour it. Some churches around Lake Charles and have a good time with that.
Oh, that's
so,
very fun.
Yeah. So we've got some big plans.
Awesome.
Shameless ask then is, are we going to get a Star Wars night at any point? Look, because John Williams has such a...
I'm going to put it out there in the universe. If I can get some good sponsors, I would love
Okay,
to
I was about
do.
To say, because it's more than just John Williams at this point now. You know, you've got, what is it, Ludwig?
Yes.
And then you've got Kevin Kiner, who's done a lot of the animation stuff.
Yes.
And so those three have really taken it to another level.
Yes.
Built on the foundation, the massive foundation, right, that John Williams did. But... There's so much there.
And you know what else? Okay, so I'm going to tell something else about
I know I came out and said, you know, I'm not very experienced, and then I just named three composers.
You know more than you think
I
you do.
I was, like, totally impressed. That you caught me speechless just now, Brady. But here's what I do want to tell you is I'm a Halloween birthday girl, so I always say I'm a redheaded Scorpio born on Halloween. But anyway, I have this dream to do, if I said Danny Elfman style concert out in Lake Charles. And we're talking about it. I've talked to Matt a little bit about it and all.
Okay.
So we're working on something. There's something in the works that, so keep your ears open, but I would love to do something Halloween.
Something themed. I like it.
Spooky theme. Yes. Yes.
Very
I
cool.
love doing theme things like that.
We have learned just recently, you know, South Lake Theater had a big Star Wars immersive experience there, and you see how much attraction that had. So anything with a theme, you know that you've got people that are going to completely buy in. And it's like you said with Sean, it works.
It works. Exactly.
And a birdie has told me I'm not the only Star Wars music John Williams fan in town.
Oh,
the
know.
Mayor himself listens to it as his think music as well.
Well, and you know what? He asked me about it and I just, my mouth dropped. He asked me about it. And okay, so I started in July and we did the performance. And then probably September, October, I met with the mayor to talk about different things. And so, yes, it's in the back of my head because he goes, what about John Williams? I was like, you just missed it in July.
That's
so
too
we
funny.
Have to kind of broaden it out.
Sure.
There's a trick about John Williams music. Again, I'm not a musician, but I've been told a lot of his music is studio. And so you're so familiar with that music that it's very hard to vary from it.
Sure.
Now, you want to talk about a performance I missed. My friend was in New York and stumbled upon one ticket to his performance with Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, wow.
At Carnegie Hall. And she sent me all kinds of pictures of it. And I was very, very, very jealous of that.
Sure.
You should be too.
I am.
You would have stumbled on that ticket.
I am. Yeah, I would have.
The one ticket.
The rest of her friends went to Lion King.
I would have cashed that one. Yeah, I would have cashed that one
exactly.
for sure.
Exactly. But I want to challenge everybody out there that's listening, come to a concert. July 13th is our Summer Pops. It is going to be so much fun. Totally awesome 80s. You can bring your kids and your family. But come to a concert. Come to a candle concert. If you see the Lake Charles Symphony performing, it is always going to be the top of the top and the best of the best. And so we're very proud of what we're doing here in Southwest Louisiana.
Thanks again to Beth for joining us here on the show, and thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on the podcast and leaving comments. We've gotten some on Spotify recently, so thank you for that. If you enjoyed the show, please follow the podcast, leave us a rating or a review. We really, really do appreciate it.
This always helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Just go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Porter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.